The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 272. It's a very special Christmas episode. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Hello.
The Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
Merry Christmas.
And making his Podcast Beyond debut, Portillo the Wiener Dog. Never been on a show. We are recording live on Christmas. we have had a Christmas dinner together. The Beyond Boys got together, minus Ryan Clements, because no one likes him. And now we are at the table from, people know it from Conversations with Colin. They know it from Orioration. They know it from that time we murdered that kid. Mm-hmm. Here we are. We're doing it live from the PlayStation home. Colin Moriarty, Greg Miller's abode.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah.
Man. How was Christmas, guys?
It was good. It was delicious.
So far, so good.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
The house didn't explode.
Exactly. There's been a lot of questions. If you haven't been following, ladies and gentlemen, I bought an indoor turkey fryer. And if you didn't know, when you tell people you're going to fry a turkey, it is literally the only... It is... You live a Christmas story, because everyone tries to stop you. As soon as you say you're going to do this, the guy selling me the turkey at Andronico's in San Francisco is like, oh, hey, yeah, you're doing this turkey. That's cool. And blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fry it. I got this indoor fryer. And he goes, that sounds dangerous. And like, my parents did try to talk me out of it. Colin's dad tried to talk us out of it. It's going around. A lot of people are worried because that Allstate commercial. It worked out fine. Yeah, yeah.
That Butterball. A+.
Yeah, at Butterball Deep Fry, yeah. Here we go. Alex Rhodes tweeted at us to say, yeah, the world needs to know how the Butterball turkey maker worked out. Did I tell a story on Beyond? I don't know. Or is it just a Twitter thing that I've talked about before?
I don't know. I think it was on Beyond.
Okay, well, then I won't.
Am I close enough to the microphone?
I think you are. That's the other thing, too, ladies and gentlemen. We're kind of flying blind. I can see the levels. The levels look good.
How are the levels right now?
They're pretty good.
What about now? Is that too close?
No, that's all right. I mean, you're looking at this thing, Peak. Back there is probably better. I think we all
okay. So
I lowered the mic volumes on everything because we're using old equipment here. This isn't the tried and true IGN stuff that never fucks up. It seems like we have a different everything. It feels different. The show's already got a different pace.
It does. It's a lot more relaxed.
Well, it's been a good show.
Yeah.
Remember, follow us on Twitter. Clements, play me out. Turkey went well. Deep fryer came out well. Colin made mashed potatoes. They were delicious.
The mashed potatoes were the highlight.
Yeah.
I mean, the turkey was great.
Yeah, get fucked.
Did all the work.
No, the turkey was amazing. It was also way faster than I expected it to be. It only took like 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. The turkey, it was already, it wasn't frozen. That was a big part. That's mm-hmm. that's what caused the explosion.
Yeah.
You know what that? It was all set. Just dropped it in. Butterball. Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Ron Popeil.
No, I love Ron Popeil.
He's a good man. He's a great American. That's what he is. That's what we got to be talking about here.
I might stop midway through the show or at some point to make a turkey sandwich.
Okay. At some point, I know Goldfarb is going to carve up the pies he brought. I won't lie. This is probably the biggest pumpkin pie I've ever seen.
it's the world's biggest pumpkin pie.
There are three of us here, and there is an enormous pumpkin pie and an enormous pecan pie.
The pecan pie is a normal size, but
you think so? No, that's not a normal size pecan pie.
No, that seems like a pretty standard. I would say
we're going to get the live audience involved here by tweeting a photo of this.
The pecan one is like 1.25 a normal pie, whereas the pumpkin pie is like two times a normal pie.
That pumpkin pie is not two times the circumference of a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, it is.
Two times the circumference.
Yeah, we have no...
A pumpkin pie is usually this big.
I just noticed that I'm taking photos of this with like no frame of reference. I'm going to tweet, is this pumpkin pie? Is this a big pecan pie? Nobody knows how big that is.
Hand me your iPhone or a Vita. We can put a Vita.
A Vita is a better idea. Go get your Vita. There's going to be a lot of movies.
get a quarter and put it next to it. That's what they do in a lot of pictures.
Yeah, that's true. That's how you, that's
pictures
how you,
of maybe I should space rocks.
Put Portillo up there. Why did my screen just go dark?
I'm using your Vita.
Or are we using Colin's Vita? All right.
There's a special game in that Vita.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
Can we?
I don't know. Probably. Maybe we shouldn't. I think we're the first people to get it. So I have the special PS3 version in my bedroom that I haven't started yet.
Man, I can't believe you guys got Ni No Kuni for the Vita.
God, Ni No Kuni, man.
Yeah, can you talk anything about it? You can talk about the first few hours.
That was a joke, by the way.
I can talk about the first 12 hours wantonly.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
This is a conversational show here.
I played it was the 20-minute E3 demo is all I played of it, and it was fantastic.
It's an excellent game so far.
Have you played any Persona? Can you compare it at all?
Or? No. I'm saving Persona for next year because there's not going to be any Vita games to play. Yep.
Mercenary, man. The only game you need.
Tearaway.
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 And Soul Sacrifice.
Soul Sacrifice, actually, yeah.
Name another Vita exclusive that's coming out next year.
Sly Cooper?
A Vita exclusive.
Oh, Vita exclusive.
Other than Tearaway, Soul Sacrifice, and Killzone Mercenary, name another Vita game that's coming out next year.
Guacamelee.
It's on PS3 as well.
You changed the question, though. You just said another Vita game.
Okay, all right. So, and Sly Cooper and Guacamelee.
Cinemora, is that out yet?
That's already out.
Is that
Thanks for
out?
Playing it.
I'll totally. I played that in 360.
I like playing this game because no one can name anything.
Halo 4.
No. Let's Fish Hook On.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Dragon Book 2 would have been a proper answer.
Mm.
What's that one where the one? You want to talk about Warrior's Lair?
Warrior's Lair.
We love you. Obviously, we're on break here trying not to work all the time as we record a podcast in our house. But a lot of people tweeted a video at me. Did you see this video? A lot of people tweeted this
Warrior's
video.
Lair,
Warrior's Lair.
And
say, it's not dead. And it starts with the Idle Minds thing, and then it's just gameplay of Warrior's Lair.
Yeah, I mean, I
that wasn't enough for me to news, hey, there's a new YouTube video.
No. And I mean, from just looking at it, that looks exactly like the game I played 2 years ago. So there's no evidence that that's new footage. Plus, Idle Minds doesn't exist anymore, so I don't see if that would be new footage. Idle Minds doesn't only not exist anymore. They haven't existed in months, probably like 6+ months. So if this was new footage and it was rebranded, presumably Sony San Diego is finishing it internally, then it would actually be rebranded. So that seems like old footage to me. That game looks exactly the way it looked when I saw it. There's nothing there to indicate that when Clements and I played it in like early 2011 or whatever the hell it was, like a long time ago.
That's crazy.
I still hope that comes out because I like that. I like that idea of a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
It's funny though, of those 3-4 games you mentioned, of Sly Cooper, of Tearaway, of Killzone. What was the fourth one?
Soul Sacrifice.
Soul Sacrifice.
Sacrifice looks great.
Yeah, all four of those games I think could be really interesting. I mean, I think we don't know a lot about Tearaway, but like what we've seen of it. I mean, I trust Media Molecule will do something cool.
Yeah.
Do you trust them implicitly, like M-Dog?
Mm, I don't know if I go that far.
Guacamelee is really cool. That game's really, really cool. I really hope it's more open than it seems. Like, because we make a lot of Metroidvania kind of comparisons with that game, but it doesn't seem quite as hardcore, not even remotely as a Castlevania game. So
at Spiffy Iffy on Twitter says that is an enormous pecan pie.
It's not an enormous pecan pie. There's nothing enormous about the pecan
all right, pie. Now here we go. See Bizzle 93. It's a normal size. Nom nom nom.
That's a standard size pie right there.
I'm telling you, it's not. I'm not saying it's. I did already say it's enormous, but I'm for sure telling you that is bigger than the pecan pies you would buy at your Trader Joe's.
Yes.
That you would walk into if we walked into Andronico's right now and bought a pie. That is a much bigger.
No, look, that's a standard. That's
here's
a standard
here's what's going to happen, and then it's going to change your mind, guaranteed. Is that eventually we're going to eat some of this pie, and you're going to see how big the pie plate is, and then compare it to a Baker Square pie plate, maybe something like. Do you have a Baker Square? Remember Baker Square on the East Coast?
I used to go there with Clements way back in the day. I was like his favorite restaurant. Yeah.
Did we have a Baker Square out here?
Yeah, it's in like San Mateo.
No shit.
It's like right by where he used to live, like way back in the day. Remember when he lived in that apartment?
That's a big East Coast place.
Yeah. It's in the Midwest too.
Yeah.
Also, like big news, there's Buffalo Wild Wings out here now for the first time.
Yeah, no way, really.
Craig and I were driving to the airport to pick up my girlfriend.
I almost crashed the car.
He almost like literally took the car off the 280 because he saw
the logo. I was like, is that Buffalo Wild Wings?
Can we make a like an Outlook calendar invite and go there one day?
Yeah, sure.
There's a few places we need to
go. I know, the big road trip is that in northern San Jose, there is now a Chick-fil-A.
Woo!
Chloe the cat now reacting to Colin's woo behind him. she's not liking what she's seeing and leaving the kitchen.
We could do Chloe. Every other week alternating food road trip on Wednesdays or something.
No, I don't want to. It's got to be like a weekend. Those are so – well, I guess like Wild Wings.
When we go to Chick-fil-A, I'm buying like 10 sandwiches. We should
– okay, Colin's getting serious.
Okay, the idea light bulb just came up in front of us.
Week 17, football is this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Meaningless for me.
Sure.
A lot of meaning for you, a lot of meaning for
yeah.
for Mike. The weekend after is wild card weekend. No, there's wild card weekend the weekend after. Now, we're on to something here, because if we go, maybe the Saturday games are always at like 12 or 1 Pacific.
Yeah.
We can go early, leave the house at like 11, get to San Jose around 12, pick up the cash, C-A-C-H-E, and then
get back
back here in time for what I presume will be the shittiest game on the schedule, something like
the
Patriots and the Bengals.
Okay.
You know my number. Let's do it.
Yeah.
415.
Let me see. I'll read it on the air right now. On my telephone.
I'm looking through the tweets here to see if there's anything else going on as far as that rankings.
Shuhei Yoshida said Merry Christmas.
He did.
Merry Christmas back to him.
Merry Christmas indeed. Thank you so much for your support.
If nobody's seen
ESP.
It, or I mean not nobody, but if anyone hasn't seen it, I should say, watch Up at Noon from this most recent Monday. You can see...
YouTube.com/start.
Mm-hmm. You can see a very special Shuhei Yoshida.
Yeah, we did another anime. Well, first off, the beginning is The Walking Dead Survival Instincts first ever footage interview with the developer who worked on Ghostbusters. So big news there.
You asked some hard hitting questions about the future of that franchise.
And then the second half of the show is me, Drucker, and Altano Animated doing another animated holiday special. My story is all about Santa Claus, Shuhei Yoshida.
What episode is this?
This is of this show?
Yeah.
272. Okay. I thought you meant a Beyond. I was like,
how
speaking
good
of Panda Musk, he tweets, just want to wish the Beyond community a hearty Merry Christmas and much heart symbol. Thank you all for making such a great year, Beyond. Thank you, Panda.
That's what I was about to say. How good is Panda Musk?
Amazing.
Like, how amazing is that guy?
He's an amazing man.
He is an amazing panda.
An amazing panda. Whatever the hell else he does. I tell you what. Go for it. We saw Django Unchained today.
It was fantastic.
That movie is the bomb.
We had some fun. We were telling Colin about our fun theater experiences.
We had a lot of fun theater experiences.
We had a couple. So first we got there. I was playing some Wordament on my iPhone.
Wordament, yeah. Getting some achievements. Some chivos, as the kids call them.
Then went up and got some drinks. I ordered a Diet Coke. She gave me a Coke.
Adorable.
A huge argument we got over that.
And I was like, I'd go back. And you're like, I will too. And you just went back and got all mad.
Yeah, I was really that mad.
You're furious.
Then we sat down, and you sat next to a smelly lady who was talking the whole movie.
I can't deal with I'll tell you what. I went and saw a movie called Beyond the Mat back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was a documentary about wrestling. Yes,
it was
Beyond.
A documentary about this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It was the one, you know, with The Rock and Mankind and Jake the Snake.
Wait, is that the one where the guy cried in the stands?
No, that's a YouTube video. Okay. It's real to me, damn it! No, in this one, yeah, there was a whole bunch of things, but I sat. It was a packed house. Packed full of wrestling fans, and I sat next to a guy who, I kid you not, smelled like rotten popcorn, and ever since then I've never been able to eat. I don't get excited to eat popcorn.
Wow.
Like once in a while when somebody like buys it and then I'm like, oh, and I eat some, like, oh yeah, popcorn's good, I forget that, but like in my head I still go back. And so this woman sat next to me today and she was like borderline homelessy, like, you know, she wasn't well kept.
No.
And she smelled bad. And then she was fanning herself with this little Mexican flag. It was weird.
Until you leaned over and said something, it took me so long to figure out where the smell was coming from.
Yeah, because she was just blowing it right at us. Yeah.
Like ketchup? Like, I was like, what's that smell? Yeah, and then there was a crying baby in a violent R-rated movie. That was
funny. Oh, yeah, and then somebody in the back yelled at him.
Yeah,
take your baby outside! Baby.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It's great.
Good fun. But anyway, aside from all that, the movie was fantastic. The
movie's great, yeah. It's my movie of the year.
Yeah, I mean, so far it probably is for me too. I haven't seen Silver Linings
Playbook yet.
So far for 20.
Well, I haven't seen all like the Oscar season movies. I haven't seen Lincoln. I haven't seen Silver Linings.
Oh, Lincoln's great too. I did forget about Lincoln, yeah. But I like Jane Gilmore.
Yeah,
I was just figuring out in my own on my calendar here,
sure.
My Microsoft Windows calendar.
Of course, plug.
I think that Podcast Beyond 300. Don't hold me to this.
Oh
yeah, a kid tweeted about this already.
Yeah,
I'm booking my ticket.
Yeah, I was like, don't do that. Don't, because I'm gonna feel terrible if we have to, something happens.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Right now, problem if you know we're wrong. I mean, we're wrong.
Don't
a lot
book
of things.
Anything.
July 9.
Ooh. So right after, a little after E3.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
So I have to start
in that vicinity.
I was saying this to Greg in the car today. I have to start leveling up fast because the goal is for me to be at level 15 by then. Right. That was
sure.
The deal. So. I'm going to have to get Hannah Montana. I have to get some easy platinums to get
you
to level
can do
15.
It. I know
I'm
you can.
Like 40% through 12 right now.
Okay. You're it's respectable.
Yeah, it's
been a good show.
Yeah. The way we're doing the show reminds me of the Saturday Night Live bit with those two, Anna Gasteyer and the other girl and Sweaty Balls.
Sure.
Sweaty Balls.
Yeah, what is that
called? I don't know. Some dumb thing on Saturday Night Live. Ashes of Gravity tweets at us. Hey guys, what was your favorite podcasting moment this year? I think mine was Cypher Filton.
Yeah, Cypher Filton was great. Also, Sean, the channeling the kids.
Yeah, yeah, really yeah. That's the one that I think of too. Was it Sean? I thought it was someone else.
Jacob.
When I that was the one.
I think one of my favorites also is and this is on Mitchell Morgan's podcast Beyond App is the alternate history where you're talking about people coming in the bubble over the water and
I don't even remember that.
It's really good. Someone was asking him a bunch of questions to qualify his.
It's you talking about the alternate history of the U.S. or something. It's really funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Hold on.
It's a great name.
Joel Young.
He's from Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. That's a good
Waterloo.
I like how that rolls off the tongue.
Is that where Napoleon lost?
I think so. It's where he was fighting the French.
Oh, he's fighting the French.
Yeah,
oh.
And
in
Canada. The problem was that they needed the Native Americans to help out, so they did one of the
rain dance. I love the. So they did one of these dances?
No. They built a ball. They got in. And they rolled here.
They rolled over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. Well, the waves were going their way.
It was like a big ball. So the jet stream reversed itself. Yeah. They were able to come over from Europe to North America, no problem.
Yeah. Well, they were still fighting in the ball.
They were fighting in the ball? On the way over here?
Yeah.
And how long did it take them to get here?
A couple hours.
So the ball was traveling not as fast as the Concorde.
Oh, my God. Mitchell Morgan, thank you so much for having this app so I can remember the stupid things we say. Sean's got to be on here, right? Or whichever. Or Jacob, one of the two.
Jacob.
Those were good moments this year. I can't even get it to work. Fucking app doesn't even work.
Will they get to hear Chloe using the
be quiet. Yeah, that scratching right there is Chloe being disgusting in her litter box as usual.
Chloe, there's a lot of poop in that litter box.
Chloe just shits and then just leaves it, or shits and then bounces, as I said. Yeah.
She doesn't cover it.
No, she scratches the side of the box when she's done
to tell everybody to let them know.
Like Mike and I think that it's her like thinking she's covering it. It's not super uncommon for cats not to cover their shit.
Sure. I've never owned a cat, but like the friends people I knew in college were cats. The cat like covered it and made it sanitary.
Yeah, not this one.
Yeah. He doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
Hey, Sean Callaghan. That doesn't sound like a real name. Sean Callaghan tweets on Twitter. Beyond, what is the most immersive game you've played this gen? What immersive qualities would you like put in future games?
The most immersive game.
Yeah. The one you got lost in.
BioShock.
I would say Fallout 3.
That I was going to say.
Yeah, that's
Fallout 3 was one for sure that
probably
I
a great answer.
I mean, it's like there are a lot of different ways to answer that because for me, like an open world game, you do that because you're just exploring and you get lost in it. Or games with like really good world building. Like I think that's something Dishonored was really good at and BioShock and anything where like they're building mythology around you as you go. Actually, Persona 4 is another one that like right now I'm immediately so invested in those characters and like I just want to know like if they're going to be okay. And we're
sure.
Like I said to Mitch, like, this is the kind of game where if it never ended, if this game was like for the rest of my life, I could check in and, you know, check out my friendship with, you know, Chie and, you know,
you want a little more, you want a little more than friendship with Chie. Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
What we should have done, by the way, before we even started this podcast was
cut into the pot.
Got wasted?
No, we can do any of those things.
those are all coming.
Talk about like our favorite games of the year. We should have organized like our top five, our own personal top five games.
I can just do that next time. I can do that. Oh yeah, I mean that would work early January too. Yeah, yeah. I mean I could do that off the
that would
the
be fly. Fun. I can't do that on the fly. I need to go back and I need to think, ponder, go through the trophies, see what I've played.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean I could tell you like, you know, Journey. I voted for Journey for Game of the Year.
Yeah,
you did too.
Me too.
I think you did as well. No, you didn't.
No, it was either my second or my third. So that Dishonored and Borderlands, I was wrestling with so much about
get
what I was
Dishonored
before.
Shit out of here.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I played the game for an hour. I was just like, I was bored.
You have to.
Word is bond, Colin.
Yeah. Oh my god, get a little further. I'll play Resistance 3 if you'll play Dishonored.
Ooh.
All right, that's fine. You should play Resistance 3 is a much better game than Dishonored, I bet.
Well,
but yeah, I said it. Yeah, internet, I said it. I said it.
I don't feel like on the PlayStation podcast that many people are going to
No. They're like, yeah,
I'm
okay.
Sure somebody is.
Yeah.
Somebody's furious.
N4G's working on a headline right now.
Well, the funny thing is that I guess we can talk a little more openly about it now that we're not like just voting and trying to figure everything out is when I played The Unfinished Swan, which was, I guess, the weekend before Thanksgiving. I played it the Friday before Thanksgiving. I played it just that night, beat it, got all the balloons. I really had a great time with it. I was like, this is the game of the year. And then the next day is when I played Journey. And I'm like, well, that lasted about a day. And then Journey was Game of the Year.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's not a slight against the Unfinished Swan. It's just like that game company has had that many more games to refine that craft, you know? Yeah. And you said it. I mean, we saw the Unfinished Swan unveiled in, what was that, April? And the very first thing you said to me is like, if this is their flow, imagine their journey. You know, like imagine what, like, what is it, Giant Sparrow, what they're going to be doing when they're on their second
Their third game. Yeah. Well, you wonder if maybe they are a one-hit wonder, though. What if?
Maybe.
That'd be terrible.
Their second game is just a first-person driving
game. Now you're hurling cars. Oh, we're out of ideas.
I think number three, and a strong number three, is The Walking Dead for me.
Yeah.
Personally.
I love The Walking Dead, and that's easily in my top five. Again, like, this was a year where there was no very clear frontrunner for me because I liked a lot of games so much. And so, like, I mean, The Walking Dead.
Porty. Oh, making his appearance.
He's just saying hi.
Oh, Porty making his appearance.
He has a lot to say about The Walking Dead.
Portillo, shut up.
I mean, I almost teared up at the end of The Walking Dead. Like, it was.
Oh, I totally did. I cried. Yeah, I cried for sure.
It's really effective for sure. But, I mean, when weighed against games that I spent so much time with, or, like, you know, The Walking Dead, what I say all the time is, like, that feeling of being so. I mean, I'm not talking about the ending at all, but just being affected by it emotionally is something that I've also gotten out of books and TV shows and movies. And I don't feel like
Portillo.
I don't feel
up.
Like that was unique to being a game. You know what I mean? I don't feel like that. Like, I feel like that exact same story could have played out over the course of a TV show or movie, and I would have been affected. Whereas Journey, like, stuck with me for so long and continues to. You know, Journey is something that, like, I don't know. It just hit me deeper, I think.
I think it was definitely an interesting year because everybody, I think, voted in a lot. Not everybody, but most people voted in a very emotional way, right, of what grabbed them and what stuck with them.
Yes.
And that was the thing for me. Like, I voted for Journey. This is where me and Colin were talking about this and other people too, you know, as far as having, like, caucuses and making sure I didn't want to waste a vote. I didn't want to Ron Paul something, you know what I mean? And, like, divide a base. For me, I wouldn't have voted if we were going into a ballot box blind and I didn't know what the tenor of the office was and where we were with other things. I wouldn't have voted for Journey just because emotionally I think I connected more with Walking Dead, but I wouldn't have voted for Walking Dead either. I would have voted for Borderlands. If I didn't know who was going to win, it was just going to be a runoff and whatever, I would have voted for Borderlands because Borderlands is the most fun I think I had with a game this year as far as like me and Mike out here playing and being a bunch of goons and being idiots and yada, yada, yada.
That's why I had so much trouble. I mean, Borderlands, I think I've spent almost more time than anyone in the office in Borderlands.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I can't stop playing that game. And, like, on the 15th when that new DLC comes out, I'm diving right back in. Like,
yeah.
That game I have gotten so much, like, fun out of and so much value out of. But I think Dishonored, for me, the reason I ultimately voted for Dishonored was because anytime I talked to John Ryan or Mitch or Destin or Caleb or anyone in the office who's really into that game, or Campbell, like, anyone who played a ton of it, like, every time they tell me how they did something, I'm like, I didn't even know you could do that. That game has so many variations and, like, the heart is just a brilliant storytelling device where, like, if you don't use it, you're missing out on so much story. And if you do use it, you're having this enriched experience. And I think gameplay-wise, ultimately that's why I picked it, was because balanced. It has, for me, the really fantastic story, really fantastic gameplay, really fantastic everything, you know, where other things I felt like were really, really good in one category but weren't quite as balanced.
Yeah, that was the thing for Walking Dead with me, right? Like, this is the conversation I kept having in the office with people about why I wouldn't vote for Walking Dead and why I didn't think Walking Dead was Game of the Year. I love Walking Dead. It's definitely one of my favorite experiences of the year. It's definitely a game we're going to talk about for years to come, I think. And obviously, like, you know, I reviewed them and I gave them all 9s and 9.5s except for one. So it's like, obviously, I think the game's amazing. But the problem for me is that hanging the Game of the Year award on something means so much more to it. And I think people, it's very much in vain with what happened with Uncharted 3, where I played Uncharted 3 in a vacuum, not knowing what I was getting into. I gave it to people in the office, not telling them what I thought of it. And when they came back and we talked about it, it was like, this is a 10. This game's a masterpiece. And then once I said this game's a masterpiece, people came in with this expectation that this was going to happen. So jumping to this year, right, you put Game of the Year on Walking Dead, somebody's playing. And for me, it's always the most recent, like, fresh on my brain, you know, experience with it, where I'm like, this thing can barely fucking run, is in episode 5 when you're climbing up that ladder and it just goes tick, 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 and it, like, the frame rate drops and there's a scream and you know what's happening, and then this thing flies by, you're like, all right, whatever, like, I see what you're going for, but, like, somebody's going to play that in May and be like, this is IGN's game of the year, and put it and be like, oh my god, like this thing barely runs.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a lot of little things like that. Like, first of all, on PC, like, you couldn't restore your
saves. Yeah, right? Your
like,
saves are... And that was happening everywhere. That happened for PS3, too, that if you had a save in if you had a save slot in 3, that was all screwed up.
And even on top of that, like, even just actual gameplay moments, like, in that, the whatever, I think it's episode 3, the train thing, without saying anything more than that there's something with a train.
Sure.
When you have to get the tool, and there's one of four tools, and you can only carry one at a time. I went back and forth 4 times before I found the right tool, and it's like, I don't know, that's not like a fun gameplay experience, you know?
Yeah.
Again, not a slight in The Walking Dead, easily in my top 5 for the
obviously,
year.
Yeah,
incredible
yeah.
game.
Well, I think once we get down to when you're nominated for Game of the Year, I think you're pretty much, you've made it. You know totally. What I mean? Because like, especially when it's one of those things where so many sites and so many publications do Game of the Year that everybody's winning something, it seems like. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things, like, I don't think Mass Effect got a lot of credit in our Game of the Year runoff because we're all talking about other things, but it's won elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, people know that game's great.
Yeah, I mean, all of our nominees, like, I loved Hotline Miami. Hotline Miami is a game that, like, I wish I could have spent more time with, and then I would love to see ported elsewhere because that game is really, really cool. Like, I was really proud of our nominees because I feel like we covered it really, really well.
Yeah, I did too. I think it was a real diverse selection this year.
Yeah. There were a lot of great games this year. I mean, this was, I think it snuck up on us a little more than, because last year we were like, oh my god, there's so many games. But then when it came down to voting, I think it was really just Portal 2 versus Skyrim. Whereas this year it felt like there were like 5 distinct camps and like any one of those games really could have won to a certain point. Like, there was a time when I just thought Borderlands was a lock. There was a time when I thought Walking Dead was a lock. And then, I mean, ultimately, Journey, I think we all kind of sensed the temperature of that winning by the end.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Colin.
Yes.
JK3354 tweets. Mm. Simple question. What was your favorite Christmas present you've ever gotten?
Mega Man 3.
Goldfar?
Oh, my God. That's hard. There was one year where I got a bunch of N64 games, like a bunch.
Yeah.
Like a big, like I had like 1 or 2 games, and then my parents finally went all out and bought me like 6 more.
Yeah.
Probably that year.
It's always an amazing
feeling. I freaked the hell out that year.
Yeah. For me, I have a lot of great video game stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like getting cool video games. I liked the time I got, this is back in the day, you know, because now it's like I want this game, I go get it, you know what I mean? And even when I was, you know, into, I don't know, late. What do you call it? Junior high into going into high school. Even if you didn't have money, I had games to trade or something. But
preteen years,
yeah. WWF Royal Rumble on Sega Genesis. That was a great game, and I had to wait forever for that. That was one of those like it came out and you know
that was one with the clown in it, right?
No, Doink was in. Well, he might have. He might have been in that one too. He
I was just playing this. Like,
he was on the cover of Raw. WWF Raw. Doink was on the cover.
When Ramon came here, my best friend from college came to visit us. Whatever. And we went to our buddy Kevin. So we went to Northeastern with we played a Genesis wrestling game with the clown in it.
Sure. I mean, the big thing with Royal Rumble, right, was that it had the finishing moves in it. It had the pacing. It wasn't like arcadey. It had the pacing of the matches. And I remember they had Crush. And Crush's finishing move, of course, was he came up behind you and squeezed the temples of your head till you submitted. And like they had that move. And I was like,
That's the jam right there?
This is it. The wrestling games will never get better than this.
I'll tell you, my dad really outdid himself this year with the Christmas present he got me.
What did he do?
Complete family tree of the Moriarty family, which is awesome. And it's like bound in like a beautiful book. It costs like $100 per book to publish, and it's like a complete written history of the Moriarty family since our family came here like right before the Civil War, all the way up to now. And I'm in it. I adorn it, of course.
Favorite thing about it is just how ridiculous your tree has gotten off with you. Because like he shows, I came home and he showed it to me, and he's like, "Here's you know the papers of my great great grandfather coming to Ellis Island and all this stuff." And it's like all these like classy photos. And then you get to Colin's page, and it's him as Hulk Hogan on Up at Noon and all this goonery. It's like
you fought in the Civil War, so I could do this.
Yeah, I feel like I bummed my family out this year because this is the first year where I was just like, they were like, "What do you want?" And I was just like, "Just give me cash."
Yep.
Like that's, I just want money.
I'm so to that point too. It's like I'm lucky enough and blessed enough to have a job that gives me all the comforts I want, right? Like, the complete Smallville series. Can I have that? Sure. Okay. Great. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I want to play video games. So it's like, if you can pay my bills, that's awesome. You know what I mean?
I asked for nothing.
Yeah.
I wanted nothing. Yeah. I don't want anything for Christmas.
I tried that. My parents like freaked out. Well, you don't need us anymore.
I gave my nephews PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and I talked to him today on the phone, and I was talking to my sister, and she's like, "Oh, Declan wants to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay." And I was talking to him. He's like 7. And he's like, "Who's Sir Dan?" And I'm like, "Sir Dan is an obscure PlayStation character you'll never hear from again. Concentrate on Ratchet and Sackboy. I think you'll enjoy them. Don't play as Sir Dan. I'll play online later. Have a good day." Let me talk to your mom.
Did he join the league?
Yeah.
I like the idea of you playing your nephews and being like, "Man, you got killed by Spike. You suck." Just screaming at him.
"Stop using that Ratchet level 1 bullshit."
Yeah, well, I actually, it's, God, I got the Platinum really early on the Vita version, and I'm lagging way behind on PS3.
Yeah, me too.
I only need a few on a Vita now.
Man, it's going to be way harder to exploit the online ones now because people are used to Ratchet. Like, day one, it was so easy, just like getting a triple kill or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Now people are actually used to the game, so.
It wasn't that bad. I did mine a few weeks after launch, and I did fine.
So, oh, you did it with Ratchet also?
No, I did it with somebody else. I forget.
Ratchet's just the easiest way to do it fast. Sure. Like, I mean, I love that game, and I don't want to cheapen that game, but at the same time, like, those trophies
I just want to knock these out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're very hard to get organically. 40. What's he even doing?
He's sniffing the oven. He does that sometimes. He knows there's food in there. Mm-hmm. Or was food in there.
They're just piles of food in there.
He opens it up, and just dog food comes falling out of it. Hey, so you watched up at noon.
Yeah.
Did you watch all of Survival Instinct, the Walking Dead Survival Instinct? All right, good. Emmett Heaney has a tweet for us. After seeing Survival Instinct, do you think they are playing it safe, doing the Telltale graphics and not ultra-realistic? Here's the thing, Emmett Heaney. I don't think they're doing the Telltale graphics. Like, they're trying to be realistic. If you haven't followed this, ladies and gentlemen, over on Up at Noon, yeah, we had the reveal of the Walking Dead Survival Instinct, which is the first-person shooter from Activision / it's being made by Terminal Reality, the people who did Ghostbusters, published by Activision.
Famous for Ghostbusters.
What do you want me to say? I'm trying to give you a foot to stand on, all right? Just to tell you what it's all about. But then, of course, obviously Telltale had done the adventure game. So this is like, you know, apples and oranges kind of thing.
I have to give the guy credit. That was masterful dodging when you were like, is there a lot of pressure from the Telltale game? And he's like, well, there's always a lot of pressure because of this. And immediately avoided the subject.
That was, yeah.
That was
he's talking about the franchise in general,
right? Of course. That was good. That was like being interviewed 101 of like avoiding. I thought that was very smart.
Okay, good. I'm glad you liked that. Well, it's funny. I'm sidetracking immediately. But it occurred to me when we were doing all the Telltale stuff for Game of the Year, and when Dave Fenoya was on Up at Noon, I was talking to him about it. It was weird to be talking to him and realizing that we were at the very much ground level of like a Star Wars kind of thing. Of like, this is this huge fucking franchise that's going in a million different directions and is going to be around a long time, whether it be video games, TV, movies, whatever. Like, so Walking Dead is like this huge thing now. It's like, wow. I remember I'll never forget when I got the first trade. Like, my friend walked in, he's like, oh, hey, you should read this. Number two just came out. You should. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I got into it. I was pretty late on it. I got into it, whatever, like issue. They were already in the 50s, but it was when or maybe even 60s, but it was when the compendium like first came out.
Sure.
I bought the compendium day one because everyone was talking about it, and I started reading through it. And I flew through the first 48 and then caught up in like 50s, 60s, and then read it, you know, as it came out up through the 90s or late 80s, whatever, No Way Out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I stopped right at the end of that, and now I'm like 10 behind or whatever.
Oh, you got to catch up. 100's clutch.
Yeah, no, I want to.
Mitch, do you know what happens in 100?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, read it. Yeah, I'm close. I'm like probably in the early 90s or something, late 80s. So,
anyways, jumping back to Emmett, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Emmett.
Survival Instinct.
To
do you think?
Question: They're not going for Telltale graphics. I think it's just early. Hopefully,
yeah.
And it doesn't look quite like photorealistic yet.
That was the huge knock against it, is when people were flipping their shit in the comments below. Just that, yeah, the game didn't look that good. And in my preview, that's what I say too. I'm like, you know, like the one, like, because what they're doing sounds cool, right? Is that it's a first person shooter, but it's not like everybody's like thinking it's Activision. It's first person shooter. It's gonna be like Call of Duty, and it's totally these guys. You know, Terminal Reality has a good head on their shoulders from Ghostbusters as far as like sticking to canon, right? And like trying to make something that's realistic to the property. And so they were talking about how, you know, you don't want to run through shooting. If you like, he talked about how what they do right now is that, you know, they want to live by the rules of the show, so they want three walkers to be scary. And right now what the office record is that they walk out and they shoot a gun in the air, and one guy's been able to take out seven walkers like with a hand to hand, like with his knife or whatever, before being killed. And that's one of the programmers, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
that's cool. I get that. I like that idea.
I mean, for me, I think it's really, really cool. I mean, it's a little sidetrack, but I think it's really interesting how all these zombie games now, and because of the TV show, because of the comics, because of all of these zombie games, we get it now. So people know that if you shoot a gun, it's going to attract zombies.
Yeah.
And they don't have to say it anymore, which I think is really interesting. That like we're used to the idea of those senses. You know, we know at this point, like, okay, like, and that's why I think what Survival Instinct is doing. I missed the actual demo, but yeah. I saw the Up at Noon. But I think it's really interesting, at least in what they've described previously, as far as like, you know, they smell you, they hear you, they see you, and it's like you have to be aware of that. DayZ is really cool about that too. Like, you have to think about how you're affecting them. They're not just totally brainless, you know. I think that's awesome. And I you know, there's so many zombie games, I think people are getting a little, maybe not quite burnt out in them. They obviously still do really well, but I think
you have to do something different, right?
Exactly.
And that's what I talk about, how Telltale, what worked out really well, right, is the choice and the consequence, and this is my group and this isn't my group. And that's what they're bringing here, is that there's these different events of, all right, now we're going on a waypoint mission, which they don't say, obviously, but we're going on this mission. We can either go to the sheriff's office or we can go to the camp. Right. And you can't do both. So you make this choice, and then your story starts branching off. And then you're driving and picking up vehicles that only have, like, three available seats. And they said...
That was that great quote he said. Yeah, like, we have more characters than we do seats in cars. Exactly. Which is a really cool way to put it.
Yeah.
It's like, somebody is going to get left behind, and it's on you.
Exactly. And you're trying to pick out who to work with, because it's kind of... It sounded like... He didn't say this. This is what I was inferring. It sounds a bit like Peace Walker, right? Where you're recruiting in these people. They're in your camp. And then, I'm going to go out on this waypoint mission. Hey, character Z, here is, you know, rations, and here is an axe. Go over there and get me supplies. And, you know, maybe you come back alive. Maybe you come back with more supplies. Maybe you die. And that's cool. I like that idea.
So you're in a car, and me, Colin, Clements are on the side of the road.
Sure.
You have two seats.
Oh, come on now. I don't need a I don't need the complete history of K-pop in the back seat and during a zombie apocalypse, all right? Colin knows.
Yeah,
up
yeah,
high, bro. Yeah. What are you working on over here?
Just reading.
We got the internet in front of us. Yeah. What do you want to talk about? You want a question? You, huh? You want me to find a question for you in here?
Sure.
Colin, Matt Hadow tweets. Mm. He's Green L Bolt, by the way, on Twitter. What downloadable game are you looking forward to most in 2013?
I don't know, Guacamelee is, I guess, the obvious answer, but
yeah. Is it the obvious answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that game's...
I think the game looks great too, don't get me wrong.
Well, just because we don't really, you know, we don't learn a lot about downloadable games until
PlayStation Network very tight.
Pretty imminent, until they're imminently going to be released, unless they're from a big studio. So yeah, I mean, right now, Guacamelee, but I mean, who knows what else is going to... Yeah, right. Yeah.
Bring me my Patapon.
I can't wait till the day they announce that and you freak the hell out.
I'm publicly stating right now that when Patapon Vita / PS4, whatever it is, Orbis Patapon, it might be, I might have to review it and then retire. Because video games will never get better.
When did you guys do 2012 predictions?
I don't know.
When do 2013 predictions happen is what
I don't know. That's a Mitchell Morgan question. He's okay, in charge of that. He'll know.
Fair enough.
He'll figure it all out for us, as he always does.
Yeah, that I look forward to that day. E3 is going to be very interesting. When Sony doesn't talk about the PS4, but they announce Patapon. And our review of the press conference is like, oh man, Sony won 100%.
I will lose my mind, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're at it, Laser Death Cannon tweets, hey, I just got Borderlands 2 from my girlfriend. Can I be hit of the week? Of course you can. It's Laser Death Cannon is his PSN name as well. He spells death D-E-T-H, though. C-A-N-N-O-N. Laser,
like Megadeth.
Death Cannon.
Yeah.
Megadeth Cannon.
Yeah,
Laser Death Cannon. If you want me to jump into your game and ruin it for you by killing everything,
super, super.
Let me know.
I gotta get back to all that. I mean, like, it's one of those things. We're talking about.
Join our guild. Do a raid boss with us.
You have a guild?
Yeah, we're really nerdy.
You and Ryan Hess? Who is it? What?
It's me, Ryan Hess, and Mike Mitchell. Yeah, we do all the raid bosses.
I did not know that.
We've got a few Beyond listeners. Nanomoss jumps in sometimes.
I did not know this was happening. I'm upset.
We've done every raid boss.
I did the worm with you that one time to get my character grinded.
So Terramorphous, there's Terramorphous and Vermivorious are in the game itself, but then each DLC has added one since then.
Okay. Has he done all the DLC?
Yeah.
Too?
Okay. Oh, well, I don't think he's done. I don't know if he's done the story content. I think what we've been doing so far is I play through the story content, and then when I get to the raid boss, I invite both of them.
Okay. I want to do that for sure. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we're gonna do. Are you 50 though?
No.
We're gonna need you at 50. All
right.
If you can level up to 50, come do a raid with us.
Okay.
The new one, when Anthony played it, they told him this is like by far the hardest one, and it's like the cool thing about the recent raid boss is that it's all about strategy, so it has nothing to do with how strong you are, how high level, whatever. Like, you have to be 50 to do it just because they are strong, but it comes down to figuring out how to kill them and doing it in a very specific way.
Gotcha. Interesting. Colin.
Hmm.
Colin, you look great. Your hair has grown into the perfect amount.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do have a good.
You've got that soft lighting behind you right now because it's real dim. So you look like a Hitchcock movie when they do like that soft lighting from below.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very nice.
Jamie writes in. He says, "What PS Plus deals would you like to see coming this year to promote future games like Borderlands did?"
I don't know. Sly Collection would be cool to get free.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still want to see Uncharted. The Sly Collection come to Vita. And I know, whatever, there's a million things to do, and we don't need all these ports and stuff.
Those HD collections to come to Vita. I mean, I think it would be awesome. Like, Infamous 1 and 2 on Vita would be mind-blowing.
Sure, with new trophies.
Yeah.
Or just a separate list so I can play again. That's all I want.
Sure.
I don't care.
I don't know. It would be cool to release the Uncharted games to tease The Last of Us, if anything, just to kind of raise the profile of the studio.
I can see them doing that. I can see them doing, I mean, maybe not Uncharted 3, but Uncharted 2.
Yeah, but there's not many, like, you know, see, it seems like a lot of the first, at least the first parties, are obviously working on PS4 games.
Well, so. But I mean, like the easy answer is for me would be BioShock, but they're doing that. If you get BioShock Infinite on PS3, you're already getting the first game for free.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool exclusive. Someone was telling me, someone tweeted to me, that's apparently only in North America. I don't know if that's true, but
it's a bummer.
That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, a lot of there are a lot of sequels coming out. Like, I mean, there's God of War Ascension's coming out. Yeah. They could do God of War, you know, do like one of those HD collections, or at least do God of War 3.
Sure.
Because
it's
been a while since God of War 3 at this point.
Yeah, it's been a long while, actually.
There's a lot coming. Why am I blanking? There's so many sequels coming. Metal Gear's coming.
Dead Space 2 would be a good freebie.
Yeah, DMC.
Heavy Rain.
Crisis.
Yeah, Heavy Rain, yeah.
Heavy Rain would be good.
Yeah. Heavy Rain would be really smart.
Crisis was free, I think, wasn't it? Or was it just discounted?
I think Crisis 1, but not Crisis 2.
Crisis 1 is a great game. Yeah. Very much enjoyed getting the platinum in that game. It was hard.
I tried to play it and it crashed once.
And you're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Never again.
Threw my computer
out
the window.
What is this, PC game?
Killed three people. they're so, like, March is crazy right now. I think also, you know, inevitably, GTA 4 would be a really smart one, or episodes from Liberty City right before GTA 5 comes out.
Yeah, I don't think they need to promote that game.
Well, of course not, but I mean, I don't think they necessarily needed to promote Borderlands 2 either, but I thought it was a cool thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and true. And plus, like, again, like, 360 had that timed exclusive for GTA, you know, 4 DLC by, like, almost a year, I think. They had the DLC way ahead of PS3. And so it's about hooking the Sony audience onto that franchise. You know, like, I think people playing so much Borderlands on their PS3 and getting used to it made them more inclined to buy Borderlands.
Found 3. Friends that you knew, they were like, oh, I'm going to buy this too. Let's play together. Yeah,
exactly.
Dave from Philly tweets, do you know of or do you think there will be an Infamous 3? Colin, we go back and forth in this a lot.
Yeah, I think there will be. I don't know if... I'm becoming less and less convinced that Sucker Punch is working on Infamous 3. I don't know why. That's just like a feeling. We don't know anything about it.
I still like the idea of it being a Vita game. And then I could see somebody else working on it.
Yeah, they're definitely not working on a Vita game.
Sucker Punch. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, someone else. I mean, you know, they can give it to Ben or someone else to do, but...
Ben's working on a next Uncharted.
I don't know. I'm of two minds just because, you know, they seem to be making Cole a character. They want to make Cole a character. So, like a Drake or a Sackboy, a Kratos. Like, he's becoming a pretty prominent Sony character, and that's all relative, of course. But,
you know, evil Cole.
Yeah, but it is pretty crazy that they put two of him in All-Stars. He's in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Like, I mean, they're definitely doing a push.
Yeah, there's something about him, but I don't know that Sucker Punch would make a third one right now. I'm interested to see what else they can do. I mean, we'll see
exactly.
What happens.
I mean, it's funny because the reason Sony studios are so valuable is because they're so creative. And in the same way that, like, I'm much more excited about The Last of Us than I would have been about Uncharted 4, that's true of all their studios. I would so much rather see a lot of, like, the big, you know, exclusive PlayStation games. I would rather see those developers working on new IPs right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get more of that next gen, I assume. But
yeah, I just can't wait to... I was telling Greg that... You know, I think about sometimes how exciting it's going to be, whether it's at E3 or before then, when we go to a conference or something to see, like, what everyone's working on. You see that Sucker Punch logo come up before a trailer, and you're like, "What is this? Like, what are they? Yeah. What is it going to be?" You know, and you'll know if it's Infamous or not immediately, because they'll probably do the electrified Sucker Punch logo that they do before Infamous games.
That would be so cool. I mean, I really like those reveal trailers of big games are so amazing. Oh, God. I love the Bioshock one where they made people think it was, like, underwater and Rapture, and then the handyman steps on the Big Daddy statue. I love shit like that.
They know what they're doing. Bertolo likes that, too.
We're going to find out about... I was just thinking about it. Like, we don't know what Sucker Punch is working on. We don't know about Naughty Dog's second project.
We don't know about Guerrilla proper.
Yeah, we don't know about what Guerrilla's doing. We don't know about what Sony Bend is doing. We don't know about what Evolution's doing. We don't know about what Polyphony's doing. We don't know about... at least one of Team or Studio Japan's games. We don't know about what Cambridge is doing, except for Killzone, and they're really big. We don't know what a lot of these sizable studios are doing, and it's just...
But we can, you know, you assume it's next gen. It's like you
Orbis launch.
Yeah, as soon as they show the hardware, they can show the software. So it's like they're all waiting on that Sony announcement.
Yeah, I mean, I you can go through each one of those studios, and I'd have a pretty good inkling of what they're working on. Like, Polyphony's clearly working on Gran Turismo 6. I mean, they don't really hide it.
Of course.
Evolution's, I'm sure, working on a MotorStorm game. You know, you assume Guerrilla's working on a Killzone game. You assume Naughty Dog's working on Uncharted 4. You assume Bend. I really think Bend's working on Siphon Filter. Sucker Punch, maybe an Infamous game, maybe something new. Media Molecule. Someone's got to be working on a Little Big Planet game. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's them. And probably, you know, they're pretty clear that they don't want to do that. And Tearaway's team is small, so they're working on something.
I'd like to know how Little Big Planet Vita sold. I know it didn't sell well, obviously, Vita attach rate, but I mean, just in general, like, I think that game's so good. It was interesting. I mean, we did the video about it, how many people were pissed that Persona 4 didn't win our game of the year, and so we went with Little Big Planet for Vita. But it's like, it seems so weird that game's getting overlooked the way it was and is.
Yeah, and it's so good. Yeah. Just to go back to what Colin was just saying, even aside from all those studios, then you also, obviously, Sony Santa Monica is working on something we don't know about. I would assume, obviously, San Diego is working on the show, but what else do they have cooking? You know, like, I think. Man, once they finally announce the PS4, there could be like this ridiculous glut of crazy.
I mean, that's
games.
That's what it's got to be, right? Yeah. I mean, you figure like we talk about all the time that for Sony to win or have a chance at winning next year, they have to be out first and they have to show why you need to buy the system at launch. And to do that, you come out and you're like, "Hey, everybody, Killzone 4, Gran Turismo 6, Uncharted 4, launch day." And it won't be launch day, but you know, launch window. You know what I mean? Like, this is why you buy it and why we're out first and why you get over here and get new friends.
I mean. I worry about Sony, though, because it's like, can that compete? So let's say Sony does that. Let's say they're coming out in September, and those are all launch day titles somehow. Can that compete with a next-gen Microsoft system that has Modern Warfare 4, that has a new Gears game? Because we don't know what Epic's doing. Like, Gears 4, not Gears Judgment or whatever, but actual Gears 4 could be coming with the next-gen Xbox. Probably is. You know, like,
not for launch, you don't think?
Not for launch day, but I mean, again, launch window, like, and with Modern Warfare 4 that has some kind of bonus for, you know, obviously DLC for 360, and with all these things, like, that's hard to compete with. And so
I mean, the whole thing that's hard to compete with is your friends list. That's what it is now. People are entrenched in these systems and these online ecospaces, and that's the whole thing now.
They're playing that Wordament, getting those achievements.
They're getting them Wordament achievements. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so interested. I mean, we were talking about this today. Next year is going to be fascinating because there are so many things that either company could do to just get it right and get it wrong, you know? And it's like price obviously factors into that. Like, how close together they launch. Like, I mean, it's going to be a game of chicken. Whoever launches, whoever announces first, it'll be very interesting seeing what the response is from the other company. And even E3, you know, Microsoft is traditionally a day earlier. So it's like, what are they going to have? And then how is Sony going to follow up the next day? Like, man, all of that's going to be fascinating.
I agree. Next year is going to be a very good year.
Yeah.
As far as just having plenty to write about, plenty to talk about, plenty to do videos about. Yeah. We're going to almost certainly going to have a console launch next year. We will have them in our hands by this time next year for probably a couple months at that point. So,
also, funny story. Remember when we had the Vita this time last year? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that the other day when the train home. And I remember, man, like, this is like, now it's all commonplace, just, you know, whatever.
Vita. Yeah, my Vita's over a year old.
Yeah.
And funny story, exactly a year to the day, I think, I was here on Christmas morning when we woke up in Egg McMuffins. You were playing through Golden Abyss and you found Sully.
Yeah.
And you wrote up a news story and then, like, is this too spoilery?
And then I texted you and got mad at you, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the days.
That was a year
like you
ago
spoiled it for me.
Oh my god, it's spoiled nothing. You're fine.
That was awesome. Also, the best part of that game is when you get Sully.
Yeah, the first half of the game kind of is like, all right, what's happening? I mean, then you get him. You're like,
Chase is fine. She's good to be there and have someone for Drake to, you know, have witty banter with or whatever. But once Sully's in it and you're running through like climbing shit, like that feels like Uncharted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's still like 30 more chapters after that.
It's a long game.
Yeah,
it is a long game. Speaking of that PlayStation Vita, Dean Kelly tweets at us, Andrew. Is Persona 4 worth getting the Vita for? Are there any other JRPGs on the horizon? They would make the purchase easier to swallow.
As Colin Moriarty knows, Rainbow Moon is on the horizon.
Rainbow Moon.
But yes, Persona 4 is absolutely worth getting a Vita for, in my opinion. That game is amazing. I'm still playing it. I passed, 33 hours today?
You're saying,
There are a few, like, I don't know. There are a lot of JRPGs coming out in Japan for
Final
Vita
Fantasy
next year.
10 HD is somewhere.
Well, Ease is coming out, which looks awesome. And I don't know if that's... I assume that will come out here.
Yeah, the Ease games come out here.
I mean, they come out for PSP, though, and those probably would sell better than they would on Vita, but we'll see. Plus, I think there's a Tales game, which is a port coming out in Japan next year. And I'm sure a bunch of obscure stuff. That Dragon Book game is like an old-school JRPG, like a sprite-based JRPG. It actually looks really neat. I think the first one's on iOS. And I don't know if they'll both come out, but there are games, like, I don't know. I say over and over again, I don't know if we know everything about the Vita yet. So
I hope we don't.
I don't think we do. I think Sony knows something.
I mean, there's still no Final Fantasy game in the Vita. That's crazy to me too.
There will be. I think Final Fantasy X will come out.
We talk about this. I wonder how much it plays into Orbis and PS4, and that's why maybe that no one's worried about it, but they can't talk about it at the same time.
That has to be the answer. If that's not the answer, then the Vita really is dead.
I really hope that there's a bunch of cross-buy things, exactly. Like, the reason they can't announce these Vita games, because they haven't announced the PS3, PS4 counterpart yet, and you're going to suddenly get, like, a ton of cross-buy games. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
We have to look at it in the lens that the Vita is not going to be anywhere near as powerful as PS4, so it's not going to be able to have true cross-play functionality. It won't. But like what it, but Iron what it possibly can do is run something like they do on the Wii U.
Yes, exactly. Get Remote Play to work and not be laggy and not be shitty.
And really work, and work with, like, every game supports it. From day one, it is a standard, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, even if it's just, like, a map or something, there's something that it can interact with the Vita.
Well, I don't want that shit. I want to be able to play, like, I want the second screen thing that Wii U can do,
But I'm just saying, make the second screen, like, on the Wii U, there's, I mean... as far as I know, there's no Wii U game where there's zero second screen functionality. I'm saying make it so developers have to be thinking about the Vita from day one.
Gotcha.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if they came packaged together, or at least in some sort of bundle. Try to get them out there, sell units that way, and get Vitas out in the wild at a discount, because you buy them for maybe $100 net when you buy the PS4 or whatever. But I mean, who knows?
Who knows? I think in general, like, one of the things Microsoft is smart about that Sony can get better about is with anything, have a standard in place. You know, the same way that, like, every game has to have achievements, that every game has to have, like, a set number of achievements and all
that
those things.
That was,
like,
definitely one of the missed opportunities of Sony this time around. You look at voice chat and infrastructure and friends lists and everything that they were like, we'll leave it up to, you know, Sony's good about being hands-off with developers, letting them do cool things with the system, but that bit them in the ass big time this time around with far as how all this is going to work and what a fucking mess it is to get an online game together and get a clan or do any of that kind of crap.
Yeah, I really hope, you know, we all said, like, oh, well, you know, Nintendo, they'll definitely get online right next gen, and nope, they still haven't. And, like, Sony, PSN is great, and there are a lot of fantastic things about PSN, but, like, they need to take that extra step, you know, and hopefully they are just putting that into PS4 development now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the Twitter questions here. We'll continue with our Vita roundup here. Jake tweets, I got a Wi-Fi Vita for Xmas. What size memory card do you recommend I purchase? I am a Plus member, but don't travel much.
I mean, my go-to answer is always 32, but now that there's automatic syncing and now that you can sync to the cloud and all that stuff, you don't really need it anymore. I mean, I guess get an 8 just so you can download a couple games.
Sure.
But,
I love my 32. Like, I like set it and forget it. Rumpel peel stuff.
That's exactly. I wish I had a bigger one than 32.
Yeah, like, me too. I would buy a bigger one. Yeah.
I don't want to have to delete anything ever.
Exactly. So. Yeah, it sucks when it gets to that point.
I struggled along with a 4 that I imported from Japan.
That's
for
crazy. Yeah.
Almost
a
year. And then I bought a 16 gig, and I think that's plenty of space.
Yeah.
With PlayStation Plus saving, it's like, whatever, I can just delete these and download them later. It doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter.
I know what you mean. Amazon
had 32. The cheapest I've seen it was like $79.99, I think, and that's still like a lot
for a
memory card. So it's only if you really like have the money, and if that's like, for me personally, I hate swapping out cartridges. Like, it's just not fun for me on a portable, and so that's why I, you know, really wanted to make sure I had, you know, every game able to be downloaded.
Yeah. What's going on?
I'm just putting some of the dishes.
Why are they annoying you in the middle of the podcast with your back to them?
Because I want to cook a sandwich.
Oh, you're going to cook a sandwich?
Why don't you just have
You're going to cook a sandwich?
Oh, yeah, you don't make a sandwich.
Okay. We have the equivalent of 3 pies here. Why?
Yeah, I don't know what pie I want. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, we do. I think you have equivalent.
Because they're so big.
Yeah, I know.
What
I know.
I'm saying.
You guys are arrested. What are you
going with? You going pecan or are you going pumpkin?
Well, I'm
going
to have one.
What the fuck, Portillo? It's pots and pans, dog.
Oh, it might be. Isn't Mike Mitchell coming back?
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, well. I like pecan better, so maybe I'll start with pumpkin and then work my way up.
See, I like pumpkin better, but it's one of the things, so many people like pecan, I feel like I should like it more.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Okay.
What if we are crossed arms and we're just
like,
feeding each
like
other?
Like the Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
That'd be hot. Michael Bergemeyer says, best Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
Yeah, that's good. That's a pick. I still haven't seen Die Hard all the way through. We tried to watch it last year, but I passed out.
We can do it again. We're going to try Kiss Kiss Bang Bang too.
I mean, apparently, even though you can't find it anywhere, you're waiting for this Christmas miracle.
We have to check Comcast On Demand. We have to check Vudu. I mean, my favorite Christmas movies tend to be movies that take place around Christmas rather than like Miracle on 34th Street or whatever. You know, like I'm more about the subtle Christmas movies. So like, to me, Die Hard is just a perfect movie in general that takes place during Christmas.
I understand. See, my thing is, I don't there's not a Christmas movie I really am drawn to, I don't think, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Christmas is more about hanging out with people and stuff. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not religious at all, so for me it's like any of like the actual religious stuff.
Right.
I mean, obviously, like It's a Wonderful Life and all those
Ghostbusters
are great. Ghostbusters 2, yeah. That's the first thing people think of when they think of Christmas.
I'm looking through Twitter here, seeing what we got. Random things over here.
Look how careful Colin is with those dishes.
Don't worry, you're doing good work over there, doing God's work.
Wait, how much oil is up there? Wait, open that top right cabinet again.
Oh, there's a lot.
Oh my god.
Those are all, I got it.
Why didn't you just use one at a time?
What do you mean?
You have 3 in there that are like a third left.
No, they're all empty.
Kept the empty thing.
Exactly. Okay, because you can reuse oil. So now now once the oil cools down, I pour it back in.
I get it.
To make wings whenever I want. Mm. Or I'm going to make fried pickles too.
Tomorrow?
No. Eventually.
We're all going to sleep in your heart-shaped bed tonight.
We're all going to sleep in my heart-shaped bed tonight, Colin says as he does dishes over there. It's like, this is just, now you're just live hanging out. It's not even a podcast
it's
anymore.
It's exactly what we said we wouldn't do this year.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to do this later.
I understand. I hate dishes. You know that. I'm down with you.
You're going to have to do some pie-covered dishes.
Yeah, we are going to have to eat some pie here in a second. Oh, hey, Colin.
That's a big selling point for you. You'd be like, Colin spontaneously does dishes.
That's a good point. All right, I'm going to read a question to you from Mike Wiley.
Okay.
Ask Colin if he feels remote play would be a big selling point for the Vita.
No.
XCOM, NHL 13, Blops 2.
No.
Colin says no, Mike. Sorry.
NHL's never going to.
Well, that's why you get around it with the remote play.
Womp womp.
Womp 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 womp.
Good work.
Thank you. I'm back now.
All right, good.
That was bothering me.
Colin's returned. Sure. It does. It weighs on you.
What if I just went over and licked every single dish?
We talked about 300 earlier. Episode 300. Podcast.
They talk about the movie. I'm like, I don't want to talk about the
movie. We'll have a party eventually for it.
How did you feel about King Leonidas?
Justin writes in, I told my family I wanted to go to episode 300 for during Christmas dinner. They thought it was because... I'm fucking this question up.
No, it was good. Keep going.
Justin tweets, I told my family I wanted to go to episode 300 during Christmas dinner. They thought because it was in SF, I was gay. Then a little, I don't know what this emoticon means, but it's the colon for the eyes, then a capital S, then a what the fuck.
I never understood what that was.
I guess it's like a,
like a peanuts face, like an unsure of yourself face. Right. Now he's doubting his sexuality is what he's saying.
Well, it's just funny that's what they jump to. I like this podcast. Oh, so you're going to San Francisco because you're gay.
A lot of preconceived notions about San Francisco.
That happens quite a bit. Here's speaking of relatives, Morgan R. Park tweets, Beyond, guys.
Beyond.
Beyond.
If you had to have your non-gaming relatives play one game, would it be Unfinished Swan or Journey?
Journey.
Journey, I think, too.
I think Unfinished Swan is smart mechanically, but it's also like you kind of need to have games before to understand a lot
of
that
there's spatial awareness you've got to be figuring out. There's
My dad couldn't figure out the vines and stuff. There's no way.
Yeah, my dad couldn't play Journey either. Yeah. Like, what the? I'm chirping? What the hell?
What's this guy chirping for?
Which one am I controlling?
What's the sandwich guy chirping for? Those are all the ones I favorited for questions. We could end the show or I can dig through my ads.
How long have we been going for? Because they even say.
Yeah, 55 minutes.
It's long enough, I think.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Okay. You've had a good Christmas episode?
Yeah.
Now you want to dig into these pies? Yeah. I like how big the pumpkin pie is that the outer crust is just crumbling under the weight of this. There's nothing there to support it.
There's so much pumpkin filling.
It's being pulled in from the center like a very dense planet.
That pecan pie looks really good.
It does. All right. Well, we're going to get into this. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Boys, thank you so much for setting aside
Thank
some
you
time.
For having me.
No, this has been a pleasure. You can go back to your room now. You can go back to your room now.
It's the first time Colin's come out the whole time I've been here.
We have like a little train we put plates on that run the food down to him, and then it comes back out empty.
It's like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I like to think about it, creepy puppets on the train.
Meow, 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 meow. Ladies and gentlemen.
That the song? That was the song.
No, that wasn't a song. The cat. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 272 of Podcast Beyond. Remember, Podcast Beyond is IGN's PlayStation podcast we post every Tuesday. You should like it and come subscribe to it and rate us on iTunes and do all that stuff. But then keep coming to IGN.com so we can keep the mics on that are usually at the office, which are usually, this is, I guess, the one time it doesn't really matter. But you know what I mean. Read our articles there, watch our videos there, comment, like, subscribe, be part of the conversation. Follow us on Twitter. IGN's IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Andrew Garfep is Garfep.
Andrew Garfep.
Goldfarb is Garfep.
Mm-hmm.
Greg always regrets fucking elderly people.
He does.
Even though he wasn't here today, Pom Cider is Ryan Clements, also known as Powerhouse.
Shuhei Ishida, YoSP.
At YoSP.
American Greed TV.
American Greed TV, yes. All 3,000 followers. We were watching some American Greed today, which spawned into an argument as to who the American Greed VO guy was.
It's clearly Rip Torn.
It is not Rip Torn. They said in the beginning it was like Stacy Nobody. It was just a middle. Somebody
Stacy
Nobody.
Stacy Nobody.
I added the Nobody, but I'm pretty sure the first name was Stacy.
Rip Torn is a big Podcast Beyond fan, so Rip, if you could write in, let us know.
You'll be surprised, I bet. Not really. He probably won't write it.
Did he get arrested for robbing a bank?
Rip Torn? The guy from Men in Black? No, I don't.
Can you Google this?
Sure, I'll Google it before we sign off. We actually have the internet now. You want me to Rip Torn?
Arrested. Or Rip Torn Bank.
I'm going to go arrested.
Sure.
Fuck, you're right. God, I hate it when you're right.
Yeah.
January 31st, 2010. Actor Rip Torn arrested drunk armed in Connecticut bank. Yeah. Emmy award winning actor Rip Torn, who is a recurring role on NBC hit 30 Rock, has been arrested after police found him intoxicated and armed inside a Connecticut bank over the weekend.
That's how we do it in Connecticut.
Apparently. Colin Moriarty's playing us out with a song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point. We usually, remember, ladies and gentlemen, we usually turn it over to you. We say, send us your questions at beyond@ign.com. You can also send MP3s of your songs. We play them at the end. However, we're using foreign software here. I'm not even sure how I'm going to get the Beyond intro into it, let alone download the songs.
Are we doing Christmas music?
Yeah, we're going to do whatever Colin plays.
Go for it. You're going to sing this.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God. Am I even going to know this song?
You knew it before. Oh, wait.
Which Sublime song is this?
It's the Riot one.
Oh, my God. Like April 26, 1992? I remember none of the lyrics to this song. April 26, 1992. Something, something, something. Cops getting killed.
Beyond!
Beyond!
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.